This land is your land, this land is my land, from California.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bray. I don't know why that's like that bumper music just made me like weirdly emotional.
It's a wonderful song.
It is a wonderful song. I don't know. It's so clear that I need to go on vacation soon.
If everything is making you cry, it's probably time to take a couple days off.
It's probably time to take a break. Well, I say this again and again because I can only imagine how all of the candidates and their campaign managers and teams are feeling right now. Because I know that we work hard over here, but everyone who's running a campaign right now, I know is in full sprint mode at this moment, because as we know, with all the polling that came out yesterday, everything is a dead heat. Everything's going to come down to turnout. And so with that, the midterms are 5 days away from today, and we're doing our best to get candidates on the show up until election day so that you can get to know them better. And today is no different. We are joined today for the next half hour by Sarah Rodriguez, who's the Democratic Party nominee for Lieutenant Governor. Representative Sarah Rodriguez, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fantastic.
Yeah. How are you feeling? Was that an accurate depiction as far as like needing a nap?
It is an accurate depiction. I keep making the really, really bad joke that I am nauseously optimistic.
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
How is it? So we'll get into how the campaign's been. You did a great job. I was at the rally on Saturday. Loved your speech. But let's just get in. Back up a little bit for people who don't know you. We're obviously recording this from Waukesha. Your district is in Waukesha when you won in 2020. But even before you ran for assembly, what is your background?
So I've worked in healthcare for almost all of my career, and that has been as a Peace Corps volunteer, where I worked in HIV/AIDS and reproductive health, all the way to being a leader in a large healthcare system. But for most of my career, I have worked as a public health nurse. And that's really the lens that I want to bring to the lieutenant governor's role. It's just one of investment in our kids and communities, and one of prevention.
And what is, for people who don't know, kind of the differences between when we think of a nurse, we often think of someone who's working in a clinic or a hospital. How does that differ when you are a public health nurse?
So I've worked in different capacities as a public health nurse. One of the jobs that I have had that I loved, I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the Centers for Disease Control. So I did national and international outbreak investigations. It's actually one of the reasons why I ran for assembly in the first place. I was just disappointed in the Republican-led non-response to COVID. They didn't meet for 8 months, and just believed that I could come and bring some science and expertise into the assembly. But I've also worked in public health departments. I've worked with moms who have new babies. I've done vaccine clinics. All of these things that we really look at from healthcare, from a community-based level, and how we can really empower communities to be healthier.
And so when you ran for assembly, as you just said, I understand why you ran for assembly, but you also flipped a seat, which is doesn't happen very often in Wisconsin. So what, take me back to 2 years ago and what you did with your campaign then in order to accomplish that.
Well, here's the thing that I think is really true. I did flip that seat in 2020, and I live in Waukesha County, which is not exactly a blue, super blue area at all. However, I do believe that more and more Republicans, I have Republican friends, I have Republican family members, we have good, solid policy-based discussions, but more and more of them are coming to the realization that the party has gone so far right and has really left them. And that the Democrats are really working on solid policy proposals, and they are moving towards voting for Democrats this time around.
That's super interesting, because I think without talking to real people, after we have to let you go, Charles Franklin's going to come on and we're going to talk about the polling numbers that came out yesterday. And it's so interesting sometimes what doesn't feel like it matches up with what just numbers and a scientific approach to trying to gauge public opinion, and how that does or does not align with the conversations that you're having. So what are the conversations that you're having, and do you feel like that's reflected in the polls, or does it feel like there's a missing element for what we could potentially see on Tuesday?
I do think there's a missing element. I would tell you that I've had so many conversations in the suburbs of Milwaukee, and that's where I live, particularly with women who have felt that the Republican Party has really moved to the extreme. And I'll give you one small story. I was up in Green Bay. This was last week, and this gentleman was telling me that he always votes on the first day of early voting because he can get it done very quickly, run in and out, and he normally gets finished with voting in 5 minutes. He said on that day when he came in, he had to wait 40 minutes to vote. And there were at least five people actually registering to vote while he was there. These are new voters. And many of the polling that we look at really looks at likely voters. Mm-hmm. And so when that's going to be something that's really interesting as we move forward, if we've gotten more people out to vote, more people understanding how important this election is, that could be the difference in the polling that we're seeing versus some of the conversations that I'm having on the ground.
We're talking to Democratic Party nominee for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And so because you had one term as an assembly rep, and yes, what was part of the calculus to make the decision to run for Lieutenant Governor instead of run again for the seat that you had just flipped?
So I was looking at what we wanted to do in the state of Wisconsin, and I can think of honestly nothing more important to our day-to-day lives than reelecting Governor Evers. And I wanted to make sure that the running mate that he had was going to be somebody that was going to work hard, that was going to be able to reach out to constituencies that maybe we have not necessarily reached out to before. I made the best decision of my life. I married a man from Mexico, and I do speak Spanish. And so there's an area there where we can reach out to the Latino community and really get make sure that they're understanding that the Democratic Party is really looking out for them, as well as to some of the suburban areas where women are moving over to the Democratic Party. I've also been a healthcare executive. I've managed large teams, multi-million-dollar budgets. I believed I could just be a really good partner to Governor Evers in something as large and complicated as the Wisconsin state government.
And you bring up an interesting point, because I know that at least, I'm sure more outlets than just Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has covered this, but at least the most recently that I saw as far as the Latino vote, one, how important it is in mm-hmm. Wisconsin, and two, that there is in it, like so many communities, but it's not a monolith. And so what are some of the bigger conversations and concerns and issues that you've heard from the very large Latino population in Milwaukee? I know that there's another large population in Green Bay. I think there's also in Madison. Even those three areas, I probably have different priorities. And so where do you see, because it's not a monolith, and do you think that there are some that still identify more with some of the conservative policies, especially, it's a very Catholic community that is very pro-life?
Yeah, so you're right. It is not a monolith. And that's why we have to make sure that we are reaching out to the communities in the way that they want to receive information. And so just translating documents from English to Spanish isn't the way to do that. We really have to work within the communities themselves, really look at what their needs are and what's important to them. One of the areas that I think is really interesting is that it is almost a misconception about reproductive health and abortion services within the Latino community. They're very similar to what it is like across the state for other communities. About 60% of them believe that this should be a decision between the woman and her doctor. That's it. If you even look at Mexico City has legalized abortion across the board. And so we shouldn't be afraid to have some of these conversations with that community to say, look, you've had instances where, women have needed these critical healthcare services, and we don't want to continue on with this archaic 1849 abortion law that put women's health at risk.
And that's, because I think that's super interesting as far as this, like you said, there is the beliefs that we have as people of what we would do and what we would like our family to do if they were to consult with us, and how much that is, you can hold that belief, and yet there's still a lot of those people who do hold that belief, but understand that as a public policy issue, politicians should not be making these decisions, especially politicians whose day job before they were a politician was like, a real estate developer.
Correct.
I was like, did you pass bio? I don't know.
And as an assembly member and as a nurse, it has been a little scary for me to sometimes listen to my fellow assembly members and their lack of understanding of basic biology, right? And so that's why we want the clinicians making these decisions, yes. Doctors making these decisions. I don't want a restaurant owner to make that decision for me. And I don't think anybody does. And so that's why we have to make sure that this is a decision between a woman and her doctor.
And one thing that I've been thinking a lot about and is the hard position that I feel like politicians up and down the ballot are faced with. Inflation. With the polling we saw yesterday, once again, that is one of the issues that people are the most concerned about. But at a state level, not only just as lieutenant governor, but also for Tony Evers, there's not so much that we can, that these positions can do with a global inflation problem. And so how do you guys try to talk about that or even explain it as far as what is possible and what you can expect and what you're actually working on to address and what would do to address how expensive things have gotten?
So that is a great indication because it is a global inflation mm-hmm. issue. It's not just in the U.S. It's not just in Wisconsin. It is across the world. So it is not any one politician's fault. It has a lot of different complicated factors along with it, whether that was COVID and supply chain issues, as well as the war in Ukraine. These are some of the areas that have really contributed to inflation. What Governor Evers has proposed, though, is actually, you know, being able to soften some of the gas prices within Wisconsin. So he has proposed removing that gas tax, and he sent a letter to the Republican-led legislature to say, hey, can we temporarily remove this gas tax? And then we can supplement that with what we have as a surplus in the state. We have almost $6 billion in the state to be able to continue to fix our roads and make sure that our infrastructure is well maintained. And the Republican-led legislature has not responded to that. So, you know, once again, putting politics before people, we have an opportunity to help folks with pricing and with particularly gas costs, and the Republican-led legislature is uninterested in doing that.
Gavel in, gavel out. All right. Well, we got to take a break. But Sarah Rodriguez will still be here when we come back. We will do our speed round like we do with all of the candidates and also ask you about how the bus life's going. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
To the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York. Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. This land was made for you.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Sarah Rodriguez, who is the Democratic Party nominee for lieutenant governor. And so are you on the bus?
I am not on the bus right now.
Okay.
But I have been on the bus for the last several days all across Wisconsin. It's been really fun and fascinating. And so it's been really good to be able to travel with Governor Evers and Attorney General Call and everybody else just to really make sure that people are getting out to vote. And there's been so much excitement.
Is this bus, I have to admit, how, like, is this like an MTV Cribs type bus or is it more like a school bus?
It is an actual school bus, and that Governor Evers insisted because, as we know, he's the education governor. Mm-hmm. So it is an actual school bus, a yellow school bus.
Is it, how are the hydraulics?
It can be a little bumpy. I'm going to admit that. But I would say, though, as Governor Evers says, he has fixed the damn roads, and so their roads are a whole lot smoother than they were 4 years ago with Scott Walker.
Well, that's good. So I guess because when you ran for assembly, you were in Waukesha County. And so what has been some of the more interesting parts or things or parts of the state that you've seen for the first time that you didn't even know, not that know existed, but like were surprising or endearing, or what were some of the parts that you've been to so far that you're like, oh, this place is great.
So I mean, every place is great,
yes.
Right? So where were we? We were in the last couple of days in Door County, which is one of my favorites. Usually almost every summer we bring our kids up there and are able to stay. We rent a small house and they can swim and kayak and do all sorts of amazing things. So I love Door County. That's just a fantastic place to go visit if people haven't visited. We went to Mesomamy. I don't know if you know that name, but they actually have a nude beach there. If you were unaware that Wisconsin has a nude beach, it is there.
Was there, it's kind of late in the year. Was there anyone nude when you went?
I don't think anybody was nude there when I went, but that is something that I was unaware of before I went.
I was unaware of that until just now.
But yeah, it's been fantastic. I every place we go, we get, you know, however many people are RSVPing. And when we get there, there's at least twice as many people there.
Oh, that's great to hear. All right. Well, in the last couple of minutes before we let you go, we always do a speed round with every candidate who comes on. Just to ask a little questions that have nothing to do with politics, but only to do with you and who you are. So our first question is first job.
Oh my goodness. My first job was actually in a dry cleaning store, where I would, come after school and I would like tag all the stuff and put it all things away. That was, I did babysitting. I don't feel like that counts, but my first like real job that I got a check from was a dry cleaning store.
Nice. All right. With the big, rotating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always thought that as a kid, I was always fascinated by that. How do I know which one's yours? All right.
Exactly.
All right. What was your favorite stay at home pandemic activity?
Oh, you know, I would say binging on Netflix and other things. I really liked The Witcher. I watched that quite a bit. That was pretty good. But yes, I think Netflix, it was a big friend of mine during the pandemic.
Person you'd most like to meet, dead or alive?
Ooh, that's a good one. I have actually never met Kamala Harris, or I don't want to say just one, Kamala Harris or Hillary Clinton. I would love to meet either one of them because I think they are just strong, smart women in politics. And I think that we need more strong women in politics, and it's a challenge. So just wondering how they've navigated what can be a really difficult, you know, quite a difficult career path for women.
Absolutely. Most recent movie or TV show you'd recommend, because you have so much extra time on your hands.
Oh, goodness. So I actually really love horror. Now your listeners are going to know what my guilty pleasure is like really cheesy horror movies. So I did just go with my husband to watch that movie Smile, which is a horror movie that's in the theaters today. That was pretty good. I like that.
Okay. All right. Something about you that would surprise people.
I once won a salsa dancing competition in Guatemala. There were only five other couples, so it wasn't a huge feat. But I still won.
And still so won. I feel like a win's a win.
I get to say that I won a salsa dancing competition in Guatemala.
Perfect. Well, your district is still in Waukesha County. But so, what is your favorite thing about your current district?
Oh, you know what? The Gillies custard is in my district, and the current district today. And so that's a little bit further east, but that's fantastic custard.
Okay. What's your walk-up song?
Ooh, I'm blanking now.
I'm trying to think of what you walked up to on Saturday. I can't remember it.
Did they have a walk-up song for me? So I have one by the Dropkick Murphys that I really love because they are big union folks, and they have the very Irish type of background. And of course I'm partially Irish, as well as many, many other things. And so the Dropkick Murphys, I do have a song that I like.
All right. Final question. What's still on your Wisconsin bucket list?
Oof. I want to honestly walk the entire Ice Age Trail. I don't know. I wouldn't do it as one big feat. I would do it in sections, but I think that is one of the coolest things we have in Wisconsin. It is this, the Ice Age Trail. If you don't know what it is, it goes all the way across Wisconsin and you can do little sections of it at a time. A lot of people do it. They backpack the whole thing. But I think it's so beautiful all across the state. And I would love to be able to hike the entire thing at some point in time, but by section by section.
Section by section. All right. Well, Sarah Rodriguez, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us today. Good luck in the next 5 days and we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Everybody got and vote.
All right. Have a great day. And stick with us. Charles Franklin will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
New things I'm learning about you today.